Welcome to the Niche Podcast, your weekly rundown of the biotech, clinical research, and life science industries. I'm your host, Dr. Noah Goodson. This week, 92% reduction in COVID mortality. Avio gets FDA approval. Takeda acquires Maverick and targets emerging markets. And Agomab raises $74 million Series B for regenerative medicine. Promising top-line results have emerged from a COVID-19 therapy developed by the Chinese company Kintor Therapeutics. A phase 2 trial tested the impact of proxalutamide on COVID-19. Proxalutamide is an androgen receptor antagonist currently in phase 3 trials for prostate cancer and phase 2 trials for breast cancer. The randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial enrolled 588 COVID-19 patients in Brazil admitted to hospitals in a multi-center study that compared standard of care with standard of care plus proxalutamide. The therapy group had a 92% reduction in deaths and a median reduction in hospital stay of 9 days. Using the COVID-19 ordinal scale, the study group saw a reduction of 5.6 to 1.6 after 14 days. The placebo group was reduced from 5.6 to just 5.4. Additionally, in the study arm, only 4.4% of the treatment group required ventilation, compared to 52.7% in the standard of care group. How good are these results? Crazy good. But how could a prostate cancer therapeutic treat COVID-19? That's not actually totally known, but preclinical data suggest it may limit the expression of ACE2 and TMPRSS2, key genes in the COVID-19 disease pathway. The data are definitely promising. So promising that Kintor is the first Chinese-based small molecule company to earn an IND for a COVID-19 therapy from the FDA. As of March 5th, they're moving forward with a phase 3 trial in the United States for the use of proxalutamab in male patients with COVID-19. Now, it should be noted that they are probably not looking at a waning pandemic as a cash cow, though it definitely could be. More likely, an emergency use authorization approval for COVID-19 will give them a better shot at speeding the approval of proxalutamab for oncological therapies, its original target. History shows that whatever regulatory agencies may say, approved therapies get new indications easier than unapproved therapies. Keep in mind that backing this process is the $240 million raised in an IPO last May. While they probably still have a sizable cash reserve, if the COVID-19 platform moves forward, I would not be surprised to see some senior notes or added stock options come out to raise another $100 million. Mostly to counter COVID expenses and speed forward the rest of the pipeline. Provided they continue on the current path without major adverse events news, this is definitely a company to watch. The FDA has granted Avio Oncology approval to use Fotivda to treat relapsed or refractory renal cell carcinoma, RCC. Fotivda is an oral VEGF tyrosine kinase inhibitor, TKI, which inhibits VEGF receptors 1, 2, and 3 with a long half-life of 5.1 days. The therapy has been approved in the EU since mid-2017. However, the FDA wanted a bit more evidence. A phase 3 trial compared Fotivda to Bayer's Nexavar in a 1-to-1 trial. Patients on Fotivda had a higher response rate and longer progression-free survival. This was enough to get the nod from the FDA. The RCC space has progressed significantly over the last decade through a variety of treatment options. While Fotivda is not an industry-changing addition, it should add meaningfully to the available options for relapsed RCC in the United States. This should give providers a chance to try multiple therapeutic pathways and specialized treatment to individuals. Avio's stock doubled on the news, but settled down to a more moderate 55% increase at closing on Friday. Looking down the pipeline, Avio appears to have shifted their developments to monoclonal antibodies for a variety of conditions. Following the FDA approval, they drew down $20 million of an announced loan, bringing the total to $35 million out of an allowed $45 million. Does this mean they're just running on debt fumes? Not exactly. They reported $68.8 million in cash plus equivalents and securities, but they're hoping sales of Fotivda in the U.S. will give them access to the next $10 million from that loan to run through 2022. At that point, I'm sure they're hoping that something in the pipeline will be ready for partnership or a biobucks deal. Developing a new product in the biopharma space is incredibly challenging. There are design barriers, capital to raise, and regulatory hurdles. The SCOPE method provides consultative solutions to navigate industry-specific challenges. We've helped companies pivot into new therapeutic spaces, change trajectory through clinical insights, and empowered CEOs with tools to transform their data into stories that raise capital. The SCOPE method will help you develop data-driven, strategic processes. Find out more at thescopemethod.com. Takeda has exercised their option to acquire Maverick Therapeutics in a $525 million deal. Mavericks has a proprietary Cobra line, which conditionally activates T-cell engaging molecules, but that technology is all preclinical at the moment. Their lead candidate targets EGFR-expressing solid tumors, while their second candidate targets B7H3-expressing solid tumors. What's this alphabet soup mean? They have a wide range of solid tumor therapeutics, ranging from preclinical to early clinical stages. Takeda has been investing in Mavericks since 2017, when they put in $125 million. This type of holistic acquisition suggests broad interest in their technological pipeline, not just the lead candidate. Remember the prodrugs we mentioned last week? Well, Cobra platform is built on a prodrug design, which is pretty sensible if you want targeted site-specific activation. Basically, it utilizes the unique environment present in most solid tumors to drive T-cell activation. Takeda thinks it'll work. But that's not all Takeda is working on. They want their growth and emerging markets division to run double-digit revenue increases for the next decade. They're investing to surpass the market and reach $9 billion in revenues by 2030, with 20% compound growth for 5 years. Their plan basically pairs market-specific growth of their numerous brands and actualization of a series of assets in their pipeline. These numbers are not without caveats. This area of the market can drive up significant revenue, but also include major cost and logistical needs. I imagine Takeda is looking out at these markets and saying, hey, there's room for brand awareness in these emerging markets, and we can outcompete generics and drive significant revenue. Takeda was at $30 billion in revenue last year, so this will not be stock-defining growth, but just one of the areas the company hopes to expand in the coming decade. I can also imagine them building this wing out and then spinning it off into a subsidiary corporation. Time will tell. Regenerative medicine is a complex space in biopharma. See the interview with Dr. Matrani for just a few of the challenges. Agomab Therapeutics has raised a $74 million Series B to advance their pipeline of monoclonal antibodies to treat degenerative and inflammatory diseases through modulating regenerative pathways. Their lead candidate, AGMB-101, is currently seeking INDs. Based on this round of funding, I expect they are close, though this has not been announced yet. Their therapy works through the MET pathway, and they see it as quite promising. Without seeing their data, I'm a bit skeptical. MET signaling pathways are nearly ubiquitous. They function properly in stem cells and progenitors, but aberrant expression is involved in numerous diseases and cancers. AGMB-101 is an agonist that specifically mimics HGF-MET signaling. In theory, this could drive regenerative processes in a ton of diseases. But this broad application is also why I'm skeptical. Not specifically of function, but of complex side effects as they move into clinical studies. They're obviously aware of these potential challenges. They've at least got a specific candidate that meets some of the clinical needs by being targeted and having an appropriate half-life. I'm excited to see some of the clinical data as well as their therapeutic targets. With $74 million in the bank, it shouldn't be too long before we get a glance at their pipeline and the specific therapeutic targets they envision. That might help us understand how they will mitigate pathway-specific risks moving forward. Thanks for joining me on the Niche Podcast, your weekly summary of the top news in the biotech, clinical trials, and life science industries. You can learn more at thenichepod.com or find us on your favorite podcast app. Like, comment, subscribe, and most of all, share with your friends. If you like what you hear, please rate and review. It really helps us. Once again, I'm Dr. Noah Goodson, and I'll see you next week.